Hey, is this thing on? Oh, it is? Word. You are now listening to Lecture Hall, brought to you by StudentUnionSports.com.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
Sorry I'm late. It's just like this new schedule's totally confusing.
Infiltrate the dealers, find the supply.
We get to be brothers?
Infiltrate the dealers, find the supply.
I am a peacock! You gotta let me fly!
Hey, Greg, why don't you go piss your pants again?
That was like 8 years ago, asshole.
Now you're all in big trouble.
What's up, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Lecture Hall brought to you by Student Union Sports. It's your boys. It's Big Hoppa. I'm back from daddy duty. We got Chita Zillings in the house. You know where to catch us on Twitter, all that good stuff. Shoot! Ah. Give me the AR-15 with that syllabus.
Oh, Hoppa, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
Officially out of the doghouse?
Never been better.
Although it was nice to have Jenna on with me, it's even better to finally have you back. You know, the biggest complaint right now is with the Super Bowl happening last night is that football is over until August. But not so fast, my friends, because NAIA and FCS football has started.
Woo-hoo!
The pride and joy of American football. Nothing like watching some
global... America, from sea to shining sea.
Hoppa, you looking forward to some FCS action? We know you're about that sweet, sweet action, baby.
We know I'm about that sweet, sweet action, baby. And I am, people forget, I'm an App State fan. People forget, prior to 2014, App State was an FCS school. We were dominating, just winning natties left and right. So I'm a big, big fan of the FCS landscape. I can't wait to just watch these random schools, like watch their football team play and then figure out if they're going to be worth putting in, like winning the first round of my bracket with their basketball team later on the same day. It's going to be great.
I mean, what are we thinking for the welding school, for the socially awkward fighting drain pipes this season? How are they looking?
Dude, the fighting pipes are looking to lay the pipe, man. I don't know if there's a team on their schedule that is going to be able to keep up with the way they're going to Pound Town.
Yeah, I was listening to their coach's press conference this morning, and I mean, he sounds pretty intense. Like, I would not want to be playing the pipes this season.
Look out. Here come the pipes, baby. Bang, bang. I will say, hand up. I heard that you were upset that I wasn't there. Sometimes we gotta be on daddy duty. Some things are bigger than sports. I appreciate it. I missed our number one fan, but hey, it sounded great. Hey, the tight end thing. She sounded really good. She knew what she was talking about.
We were texting the whole game and we were like, everything except Scotty Miller has been very accurate.
You know, it's funny. I was sitting there thinking after I listened to you say that, and I was like, I couldn't believe you said it. And I was like, Harrison doesn't know that Scotty Miller wasn't even close to being worth a look. What was he? He had one carry for -3 yards and didn't even see a target.
Yeah, he didn't touch the ball after the first quarter.
He ran a play, got -3 yards. Was he even in the rest of the game? Did you see another snap?
I don't remember seeing him.
I feel like I don't remember a lot of that crap game, but.
Oh, shoot. Before we move on to their actual segments, there is a little bit of real football talk. Not that the fighting pipes aren't real, but Carson Wentz looks
real in our hearts.
Looks like he's out of Philadelphia. the top two suitors seem to be the Chicago Bears and my Indianapolis Colts. It sounds like they want two first-round picks for him, which is aggressive as hell. I've seen the only actual offer I've seen floated around is Foles, a first, and Tariq Cohen for Carson Wentz. But then I've also seen from Colts insiders that this could be like a multiple player thing where you could see Wentz plus maybe Ertz or an edge or a corner being shipped to Indy for whatever the heck we would have to give up for a Wentz and Ertz package. Those are the rumors right now. As of earlier today, I believe they said that there's nothing imminent, which means that it's probably going to take place while we record. That's how the NFL seems to work. Hoppe, what are your thoughts on this Carson Wentz deal?
I want to believe in him, man. I had him on my fantasy teams the year. He was the guy that I drafted like late in fantasy the year that he won the MVP, or he could have won the MVP before his leg got smashed to bits. And so I'm a Wentz believer. I want him to do well. I want him to succeed. The guy was constantly getting sacked. And the health of that O-line was one thing that they would note during most game broadcasts. And so I think it's something that is important. Like, we saw it last night. Dude, okay, imagine last night Patrick Mahomes ran, and we can get to this later, but he ran for almost 500 yards pre-sack, pre-throw. And think about how much pressure he got. That was basically Carson Wentz every single game this year. So give the guy some time to throw. He's shown he can play well before. I think it's something similar where to the way I believe in Darnold is just you got to get the right situation, man. Are the two first round picks probably too much? Probably, but I'm terrible at this. So what do I know?
Yeah, and for all I see is that the Colts coaching staff seems to believe they can fix Carson Wentz, and I mean, their entire offensive coaching staff seems to have coached Wentz at one point in his career. So maybe that's what he needs. He needs to get some familiar faces coaching him and get behind an O-line and an offense with some weapons. But I want to spend two first-round picks on Carson Wentz? No. I'd be tempted to give you a fourth-rounder and, like, Marcus Johnson for Carson Wentz. I don't know if I'd want to give up much more than that.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about some of these teams, I mean, that he's had, I mean, the Philly was just downright bad, and he obviously got benched, and his numbers definitely don't look great. But he's done a lot with a little. I mean, you have the 2017 when they went 11-2, obviously went on to win the Super Bowl. He was 60%, had what we'll call 3,300 yards, 33 touchdowns and 7 picks. That year, the year after, his season was again cut short, or he started the season late because he was coming off the ACL. He almost completed 70%. He had 3,000. He had 21-7 in 11 games. 2019, the team went 9-7. That he basically completed 64% of his passes, 4,000 yards, 27 touchdowns, and 7 INTs. And I mean, the difference between between 2017, 2018, and 2019, he was sacked 28, 31, and 37 times. I dare you, Harrison. Let's play this game. I'll give you three guesses to guess how many times he was sacked in 2020. He led the league.
Man, he didn't even play the whole season.
He started 12 games, and guess how many times he was sacked?
Let's go with 57.
Okay, too high, but close. 50. He was sacked 50 times in 12 games to lead the league. He literally didn't play 25% of the season and was sacked the most amount of times of any other quarterback. So you get him behind Quentin Nelson, you let him hand the ball off to Jonathan Taylor every so often, and you get him some decent athletes, Pittman over the middle, and whatever happens with T.Y. Hilton, I don't see why he couldn't succeed.
Oh, man, you're trying to talk me into it, and I just don't want to believe it.
I mean, the money sucks. I'm not going to lie to you. There's no feasible reason to talk yourself into Carson Wentz. There's no reason for anybody to do it. But I'm just saying, like,
there's context. There's a little bit of context.
But if a change of scenery is all he needs, then the money really doesn't suck if he ends up being kind of good.
Well, and, okay, so it's interesting you bring that up, because how many times I do it all the time where I say go to your team's games. Obviously, that's a little different with COVID. But by you're going to have – you think about all the opportunities you're going to get. If he's anywhere decent, how many people probably bought Philip Rivers jerseys, and you have this guy, if he plays well season one, think about the revenue that you're going to get back from selling jerseys, from selling pictures, from selling, you know, whatever other monetized, like, with his name on there. Because it's his name, like the rev share, selling tickets. If he's good and he can make your team better, a team that's already really good in the Colts, and this is just for, I mean, just for the Colts, this applies for anybody, like, then that money is definitely worth it. Like, why, you know, it's all in the context. If you think that he can, if you can recoup the funds, that's why you pay guys like that. Patrick Mahomes is a polarizing figure. Why did he make that money? Probably because he's led the team to two straight Super Bowls. He's won one of them. Last night he was running for his life. They went 14-2. There are people who are outside of the fan base who are going to buy his jersey, who are going to go pay to see him when they go on the road, who are going to pay to come to Kansas City if they live close by. If you're say you're a Denver fan and you just moved to Kansas City, you're going to go watch Denver every year they play in Kansas City, and he's going to be part of the reason for that. So there's so many more reasons besides just that cap hit for the team to recoup the money. So I don't know, man. Like, what do you do with Carson Wentz? I don't know. But then you don't want him to be not fixable. You don't want to bring that on and then it just not work out. It's a tough situation.
All I know is if you put Carson Wentz on the Chicago Bears, you're not going to get to a Super Bowl.
Look, if you're going to say that Carson Wentz is deep dish pizza, you're dead wrong.
All right, Hoppa, before we continue on into the Super Bowl, why don't you tell our listeners about our friends over at Gibbs Grooming?
Look, I could go on and on and on. Let me tell you something. You know how we're just talking about the value? There is nothing of better value than Gibbs Grooming products. Look at me. I got a little bit of hat head up here, but it's so silky smooth. It's beautifully conditioned. This beard, fat, cleanly shaved, all that and more possibilities for you. If you just go to GibbsGrooming.com, 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 you can go there. You can use the code HALL15, HALL15. HALL15. And you can be feeling like me, man. I'm confident. The wife was kind of looking me up and down today. Like, got the shave on, the sharp dressed mane. Cheeks are soft. The beard oil. Everything's feeling good. Feeling crisp. Feeling clean. It's the dead of winter, man. It's gray outside. People aren't in the mood. Tell you what, get you some Gibbs. You'll be bright and cheery. You're gonna feel like it's Christmas. It's gonna be Christmas every day when you get in the shower. All right. There's no better feeling than that. There's no better feeling than getting 15% off when you use the code HALL15, HALL15, HALL15 at GibbsGrooming.com.
If you add Gibbs Grooming to the Chicago Bears, that's a Super Bowl winning combination.
The defense of the conditioner is just way too good.
All right, Hoppa. The Super Bowl was last night, kind of the biggest sporting event on the planet. There's a lot of things we can say. We only want to talk for like an hour. So, Hoppa, what was your biggest takeaway from last night's game?
My biggest takeaway is that I'm really sick of it. I'm sick of the whole Tom Brady thing, man. I'm so done. Look, people nowadays, it's getting serious. Wow. I can't believe I just like got real. All right. I'm sick of the Tom Brady thing, man. I'm going to try not to rant here. I'm going to try to keep it to an easy amount of time. People right now complain about the way the media portrays certain players. And I get it. You have stuff to promote. You want people to click on your stuff so you can sell advertising, this, that, the other. Who doesn't do it if you're in the content creator business? That's what we're doing right now. That being said,
there's a point where you've been so groomed over the last 20 years by watching the media say Tom Brady and the Patriots, Tom Brady and the Buccaneers, Tom Brady, this, that, the other. We put these players above the team. I am so done with it. I'm done with the he is the reason. If you're telling me that a team that went from the 29th scoring defense to the 8th scoring defense in one season just won the Super Bowl because of Tom Brady? No. There's probably 5 to 8 different quarterbacks, including Patrick Mahomes, that if you substituted for Tom Brady last night, win you the game. And I'm just really getting sick of the whole, the media likes this guy, the media doesn't like this guy, they paint him in this picture, they paint him in this, and we've just put Tom Brady on this pedestal with no context. That was my biggest takeaway. I think it's dumb. I get it. I get that he is good. I get that he is an all-time quarterback. To be able to separate the two things is what's so important. Winning 7 Super Bowls and having a defense outside the top 10 in the league and scoring every year. He's had less teams outside of the top 10 in scoring as far as their defense is concerned in his career, in his 20 years, than Aaron Rodgers has had outside the top 20. And I get it's Aaron Rodgers. I get I'm a Packer fan, and that's because it's readily available to me. Think about the teams, Phillip Rivers, the chances, Big Ben, et cetera, like some of Big Ben's defense, et cetera. Well, the pass was just as good. And so I probably sound like an idiot. I probably sound like an asshole. But at the end of the day, the Super Bowl is a team achievement, and putting him above, they put up 31 points because of turnovers against the Packers. They put up 31 points because of a fumble in the Packers territory in the red zone. And then another interception opportunity that put them on the plus side of the field and ended up in a touchdown. Like, they took, yes, the offense does have to score, but he got a lot of defensive help. It's been that way for a really long time, and to ignore it, I don't care if I'm woke, I don't care if I'm an idiot or an asshole. It's just the way it is. Sure, he's the most accomplished. That's fine.
And last night, I mean, didn't Tampa only force one turnover, and it was that interception in garbage time?
I mean, yes, last night. I'm just saying, in general, they gave up 3 field goals to the best offense over the last 2 to 3 seasons.
At the same time, I get it. Like, the defense is important, and building around him has definitely been a crucial factor in him being as successful as he has. But at the same time, all those 7 Super Bowl winning teams were quarterbacked by Tom Brady. And that's kind of an X factor when it comes to playing in the Super Bowl. You need good quarterback play, with the exception of maybe Peyton Manning the year he retired. It's like that quarterback position, especially when you have Tom Brady there, you're getting a whole lot more out of Tom Brady than just his play on the field. He's been in the game 10 times. He has more experience playing in that game than any of the guys on that Tampa roster do combined.
But he's been in the game 10 times, and last night was the first time his team has ever scored a touchdown in the first quarter. Like, I get that. Maybe that's dumb, and maybe it doesn't mean anything, but to me, it's just like, that's, you have to have a lot of help. He'd only had 3 points in the first quarter of the first 9 Super Bowls he's played in.
I mean, who cares where you score the points as long as you score them?
I know, I get it, but I'm just saying, like, that's to even be in that game, to assume your defense is, also gives up 0 is just mind-boggling.
All right, I feel like we can sit here and argue about Tom Brady all night, but I want to talk about the actual game, the game itself. A little bit here. You did mention that until last night, Tom Brady had never scored in the first quarter. And then as soon as Romo said that, or Nance said that, they pretty much scored within the next 2 minutes on that screen, that fake misdirection screen out to Gronkowski.
Yeah. I mean, it's an announcer's jinx kind of thing, I guess. I don't know. Look, the better team won last night, and that is a good thing. And I mean, the defense, dude.
I thought we were about to start talking about the actual game here.
That is the actual game. The defense was amazing. Tampa Bay's defense was amazing. I don't know what you want from me. Tom Brady. Okay. The Super Bowl breakdown. What? 55? Super Bowl 55. Here's what happened. The Tampa Bay defense was really good. They got pressure all night. Patrick Mahomes ran for 500 yards before throwing the ball or getting sacked. And Tom Brady was able to piece together some really nice drives, took advantage of some calls, and scored more points than one.
There was some revengefulness in the tone of you saying some calls, even though Kansas City is the fourth most penalized team in the NFL.
I mean, he threw a ball that hit the back wall of the end zone that they called pass interference. And then people start coming out of the woodwork, uncatchable isn't a thing anymore. What the hell's that about?
People have been saying uncatchable. The people have been questioning that unquestionable part of the rule all season because they haven't been calling it like that.
Yeah, okay, so you look it up, and in 2019 is when they did away with that. But they don't call pass interference if they think the ball is catchable. So it might not be written into the rule, but it's still a part of the rule. And so, like, I am 100% mad about some of the reffing last night, especially in the first half, especially after what we saw in the Packer game. I am salty about it, and that's fine. But last night, what happened was Tampa Bay's defense played really well. Tom Brady took advantage of his opportunities like he always does. And that was your game. 7 Super Bowls.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Kansas City's the fourth most penalized team in the league. I don't think that they're getting garbage calls. They're just playing the game that Kansas City plays, and they're getting flagged on it. Tampa was in the bottom half of the league in penalties this season. It seems
I don't want to fight about it, but like, you're saying that Kansas City was the fourth most penalized team, Tampa Bay not so much, that those were just the right calls?
I'm saying that it's not something to get up in arms about, like, oh, they're clearly slanting this to Brady, when, like, no, this is just how Kansas City plays. They're going to get flagged because they commit penalties.
They do, but at least call it when it's a little more blatant.
I don't know. I didn't have a problem with either of those holding or pass interference calls, whatever the actual call was.
I didn't
have a problem with either of them.
The one on Matthew, in the end zone, that one I think was probably worse, especially when you got that back angle. The one on Evans, it looked like the guy tripped and then, like, he fell on his own and then he took down Evans because he fell on his foot. So that one I'm a little less about, just because I couldn't tell if, like, he tripped and then he grabbed him and dragged him down, because I'm like, yeah, obviously. Or, like, if it was incidental contact or not. But, I mean, there's Tampa Bay won. Nothing's going to change that. They played better. I mean, you can't deny that. What, it was like 29 pressures for their defense on 56 of Mahomes' dropbacks. Like, yeah, they gave him no time to throw.
I mean, they dominated every aspect of that game.
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm not denying that at all. I don't want to. I'm going to come across that way, but that's like, you play that same game 10 times out of 10, and you're probably getting the same result. I mean, you're Tampa Bay's good. Insane defense. Kansas City got down early. They abandoned the run for the most part. And from there, it was just sitting back and letting an insane amount of talented pass rushers just get to Mahomes, which obviously they did with Kansas City's depleted line.
Okay. But before we get on to the Trevor Bauer, and hopefully to avoid another defensive rant by you, I want to talk about what I would almost want to call him my stooge of the week, but I respect the pettiness so much that I think it's actually gold, and that's Antoine Winfield putting up the deuces to Tyreek Hill after, what was it, after the, it was an
after the Kansas City won in, he back Tyreek Hill
complete pass right on the Mahomes Superman sidearm.
I think it was that play.
Yeah, it was a turnover on downs on the Superman sidearm, which was almost a touchdown. Back-to-back plays where he almost did something.
Off his dude's face mask.
It was ridiculous. And it's a callback to week, what was it, week 7, week 8, when the two teams played, and Tyreek went off for 200 yards in the first half and gave Winfield the little deuces when he was about 10 yards out of the end zone still. The pettiness that it takes to remember that and plan that celebration for the biggest possible stage. He didn't care if he got flagged. He didn't care if that penalty was going to maybe reverse the turnover on downs there, which it didn't. But if it did, he would have looked like an even bigger idiot. He didn't care. He was like, I am getting this in.
Yeah. It's funny, too, because he's like a safety, so he's not directly on Tyreek all night. But, yeah, to let that one just rip, like, and it was awesome, too, because, like, they just kind of, like, had they were, like, showing the field and kind of were starting, like, a slow zoom in on where Tyreek is just, like, on the ground, obviously upset. And then all of a sudden, from the clouds, Winfield comes from, like, the end zone direction, comes right into his face and was like, deuces, and just right in his grill. I mean, oh man, that is some.
I mean, that's
kids are going to be flagged for that next high school football season.
I mean, that's the definition of the Jordan, and I took that personally. Meme. It's the definition of it.
Absolutely, just right in his face.
Yeah, for that, I think Antoine Winfield should have been Super Bowl MVP. Forget Gronk, who, by the way, Jenna, he may be an old man, but he did not look like an old man Gronk. He looked like he was 24 again out there in the Super Bowl.
Some guys just play better on the big stage, man.
Yes, I mean, why would you waste your energy in week 11 when you're like, we're going to the Super Bowl. We have Tom Brady. He gets there more often than he doesn't. Like, might as well just store up the energy and be fully rested for the Super Bowl. Like, it's a genius play by Gronk.
I'm so salty, but it's fine.
All right. Clearly, Hoppe does not want to talk about the Super Bowl anymore. Let's get to something that he likes to talk about a little bit more, and that's the MLB. We finally had the prize of this free agent class finally announced where he was going just like 8 days before pitchers and catchers report. Trevor Bauer in an all-time hype video. Like, he made me think he was a freaking five-star recruit committing to Duke or something. And in his announcement video, Trevor Bauer signs a 3-year deal with the Los Angeles Dodgers.
3 years, $102
million.
Yep. What a deal. Agent Rachel Luba with an all-time contract deal. That doesn't even begin to explain the all-time finesse that he did to the Mets fans. So obviously if you're a Mets fan, you're probably pissed off and you're upset. Because on his link tree to where you can go, like, to his momentum and all his socials and whatever, there was a Mets-related – It was the Mets related YouTube post of if he had chosen the Mets. That's what got tweeted out by Bob Nightingale. Essentially, that's where his reference was from. And that was just not correct. He ended up going with the Dodgers. I don't know if you last night after the Super Bowl, Trevor Bauer decided to basically post a manifesto on what happened. Basically, one of the workers for Momentum, like, was getting everything ready. Like, they had a couple because he didn't even know what he was going to do yet. And all of a sudden, like, that link accidentally gets posted and gets caught during the, like, getting everything prepared before he makes his decision. And it gets ran with. Doesn't happen. Next day, boom. 3 years, 102, 40 milli in your face the first year with David Price, Clayton Kershaw, Walker Buehler, Mookie Betts, Cody Bellinger, among plenty of other studs on the LA Dodger roster. The rich get richer.
Oh my
God. So much money. So much money.
The funny thing about all that is I don't know if you've ever edited a link tree, but I do the student union one from time to time, and it's pretty hard to accidentally type something into that and submit it, considering you have to type the title of what you want to post and and then copy and paste the link to it and then save it. Like, it's hard to accidentally to post that, but it is what it is. Trevor Bauer is making more money this season than like 6 or 7 big league rosters combined, including the Cleveland baseball team, the Oakland Athletics, the Pittsburgh Pirates. It's kind of impressive.
Crushed the average annual value number that was set previously by former UCLA teammate Garrett Cole of his. So it's, man, I'll tell you what, I kind of want to know where you stand on this, the whole rich get richer thing, because obviously baseball, no salary cap. And I had a buddy who was not fond of it. And baseball represents capitalism. And I think that you should enjoy it. Like, we've seen the Yankees, it's been 10 years. They bought Garrett Cole. Everybody was like, all right, Yankees are winning it. They didn't even win their division last year.
Oh, it's been longer than 10 years, my friend. It's been longer than 10 years.
Whatever, you're a Red Sox fan, who cares? But that's my point, is that not like, yes, do you buy the talent and does that buy you wins? Yes, but does it always buy you World Series championships? No, it doesn't, man. No, it doesn't.
I kind of like this rich get richer concept, because you can't always pull it off. And the Dodgers are fortunate enough that they've been able to pull it off with the guys that they currently have on that team. And like, the Red Sox are the perfect example of that. Like, they got rid of Mookie Betts, homegrown player, top 2 player in baseball. They got rid of him because they couldn't afford him, because they couldn't face the luxury tax penalties of that high of a payroll. So they shipped him out. Were there other ways they could have done that? Probably. But at the end of the day, the Red Sox didn't want to pay Mookie. And they ship them to LA. LA is the model of what every big market MLB team should be. Because one, they don't just buy talent. They have a top farm system year after year. They produce their own studs. Walker Buehler, their guy. Clayton Kershaw, their guy. Cody Bellinger, their guy. Jock Peterson was their guy. They develop their own talent so well. And then they look at what they don't have and they either go spend it or they trade the prospects that aren't going to fit into that system. They trade a Verdugo. They get rid of a Jock Peterson. They trade whoever they need to fill in the holes with top-level talent. And that's how you get this Golden State Warriors baseball equivalent. Like, barring injury, there's no one who can take down this team unless there's just an absolute 2013 Tigers meltdown within that pitching rotation.
Yeah, I mean,
rotation, it's the bullpen that would have to melt down.
Yeah, I mean, you have even the guys you didn't name, guys like Will Smith,
Corey Seager,
Kike Hernandez, Kenley Jansen, who's been one of the best relievers in baseball up until recent history. Like, I mean, there's more guys, more of their guys than their everyday players are homegrown, just really good baseball players than bought star power. And like, I get the rich get richer thing. I get it. It doesn't always help competitive advantage. The Royals, the Brewers, the Rays are just 3 examples in the last decade of teams who have been able to have success at times with lower payrolls because they've been able to cultivate the talent. They've paid the guys they've needed to pay. And maybe the evolution of the game doesn't lend itself to to paying guys a certain way or just outright buying them the right talent. But if we're now players are being paid more now than ever based on what future talent holds. And look, the Rays just were like the 27th payroll and got to the World Series and frankly had a shot to win it. They were right there. Like, there was a shot for them to win this world, this past World Series against the Dodgers. The Dodgers obviously really good one. But these teams, man, it's not impossible. And so that's where it just frustrates me. Like the Cleveland Indians have been so good for so long. And we just know for a fact their owners don't spend money. The owners are in it for the business. They make a lot of money off of Cleveland Indian fans. And what do they not do? They don't pay their players. They trade them away. That's just what it is.
Yeah, and the Dodgers are the perfect model of how to do everything the right way. Personally, I'm not the biggest fan of the Moneyball system. Sure, it's going to work and put you in a great spot once every 5-6 years, but it's not a system that's going to make you be let you be competitive year in and year out. Like, Oakland's starting to get to the point where they can do it, but they're still really not even that relevant. The Dodgers are a mix. If you took the Oakland A's and the New York Yankees and you put them together, you get the LA Dodgers, and it is the perfect recipe for success in the big leagues. They grow their own guys. They get the guys on their cheap team controlled deals, and then they fill in the holes New York Yankee style and say, here is a fat bag of cash. Come win a ring. We just got one. We'd lost two previous World Series. We finally got over the hump. We're going to win 7 more.
Yeah, the Dodgers and the Kansas City Chiefs right now are the same people, in my opinion. It's the same idea, at least the same basis. And they're just both really good. I mean, there's no reason to believe the Dodgers won't win it. But, you know, this is the other thing about it. What do people always say? You can have everything down on paper, but you got to play the game. Yeah. And we've seen it with the Dodgers the last two World Series prior. You had to play the game. So there's no reason to not like Bauer there. It's going to be fun. If you're a fan of pitching, if there's a bet out there, if there's a book out there that give me the option for lowest team ERA in the single season record to be broken, sign me up, because whoa, that pitching staff is good.
Yeah, I'm tempted to buy the MLB TV package because I want to watch as many Dodger games as I possibly can.
You're going to have to get yourself a job on the West Coast.
Yeah, I mean, hey, if
that way it's not too late. Can't go East Coast. That's way late.
If our 97% U.S. listenership, if any of you are based on the West Coast and know any places that are looking to hire me. Anyway.
Nothing like shameless self-promotion. Is it for the show? No, personal.
Me being on the West Coast helps build the lecture hall brand. Come on.
Yeah, exactly. We got to cover coast to coast. But yeah, man, no. Bauer.
Over here.
Bauer to LA, man. It's going to be fun.
Yeah. If you put Trevor Bauer on the Chicago Bears, he doesn't make him a Super Bowl contender.
But if you give him the pieces... If you're telling me, I can't even do it.
Trevor Bauer, if you think letting Trevor Bauer get coached by Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy is going to be any better than Mitch, you're flat out wrong.
We saw it last night. There's your proof. It's in the pudding.
All right.
You know we like to bet our fair share of sports here at Student Union Sports, but it isn't always easy to find a reputable source to place a bet. At Student Union Sports, we are big fans of BUSR.com. Partnership alert! BUSR is your go-to location for all sports betting and online gaming. Bet on your favorite sports events today, including the NFL, biggest winners and losers, NBA, college football, even college basketball, and many other sports. If you're into betting the ponies, BUSR also offers the best promos, bonuses, and odds of any online racebook. If you think you're a savvy sports better, BUSR is the place to go. If you go and head on over to BUSR.com/student union sports today, you will receive 20% on your signup bonus and up to 8% in rebates every single day. Again, that's BUSR.com/student union sports. You can also find that link in the bio of our podcast, plus on the front pages of our website and Twitter. Go to BUSR.com/student union sports today to start your betting.
The second biggest sporting event of Sunday was the Waste Management Phoenix Open. It's been a little bit since we ended the show with some golf talk. Our boy Jordan
Spieth. Oh my God, it's been forever.
He might not have won our plus 6,000 Masters bet on him, but he's starting to come into form. Are we gonna take him again at Augusta this year? I know we're gonna have to wait for Hoppe's Masters picks to come out in April. But Spieth, man, coming out of nowhere.
Goes, 10 under on Saturday to put himself at the top of the leaderboard, tied for the lead. Sunday wasn't as great. But here's a story, man. Like, if you think Tom Brady winning 7 Super Bowls is a great and awesome accomplishment, Jordan Spieth winning 3 majors in essentially a calendar, like a year and a half. Or no, two. Okay, 3 years, sorry. Winning 2 majors in 1 year. And then winning a 3rd major, and then basically going to the abyss of mental, like, darkness.
Yeah, if you thought Rory had the Sunday scaries, Jordan.
Talk about Thursday scaries. Talk about not making the cut.
Jordan Spieth had Monday through Sunday scaries, January through December.
24/7, 365. This guy, he's like Howie in Benchwarmers, where he doesn't want to leave the house. Instead of swinging a sword, he's swinging his club at the.
Jordan Spieth has to have a crippling CBD addiction by this point.
Oh my God, that guy, he's so chill. He just doesn't. He can't, like, move.
You get the videos of Bryson just, like, screaming and going ham in the gym, and you get a video of Jordan Spieth just sitting there with a calculator and his track man just racking his brain. He's like, the numbers, they don't make sense.
What movie is that? Is that Hangover, where he's sitting there and then all the numbers, like the popular GIF, all the numbers start showing and he just has no clue what's going on? This is way too much fun at Jordan Spieth's expense because he's so good.
Big Spieth guys, yeah. No harm intended in these jokes, Jordan, if you ever listen to this.
Jordan, if we ever have you on the show, please don't listen to that 2 minutes, because we actually like you a lot. So.
Yeah, I don't want to wreck your mentals even more here. We finally got something good going here. Let's build on it. Let's take it into Augusta. That plus 4,800 sounds real nice right now.
I love the idea of us talking to him, ever somehow getting the chance to interview him, like in some like soon enough capacity. And we play that clip for him, and it just sends him spiraling after that. Headline, Jordan Spieth goes on podcast, never makes another cut. It's just super funny to me.
Jordan Spieth retires from the game of golf in Anthony Kim fashion after going on the Lecture Hall podcast. The two co-hosts from Student Union Sports questioned Spieth's mental strength, and it has certainly sent him spiraling out of control. Back to you, Bryce, with the weather.
More at 10. But yeah, no, we love Spieth. It was good to see him back up there. If he can continue to play really well, he's already won at Augusta. He plays well, I mean, for the most part there, except for the last couple years. But
in all fairness, he hasn't really played well anywhere in the last couple of years.
Yeah, truth be told, you have a better time finding a golf course I play well at than somewhere where Jordan Spieth has played well at.
Tom Brady has a better chance of winning a Super Bowl than Jordan Spieth did at playing well at any local muni.
This is way off of the base, off of the credit we wanted to give him.
Yeah, we decided we wanted to talk up Spieth, and We're just here making jokes at his expense. Jordan Spieth, you shot in the 60s 3 rounds in a row. That's incredible. It's exactly what we need. It's what we need you to keep building off of to make the return. If you thought Tiger's comeback was special, you thought that sent people into a frenzy, Jordan Spieth is going to do the same thing, minus maybe like a couple notches, but it's going to be close.
It will be one of the better comeback stories, and I'm here for it. I am, despite all the jokes we just made, I am here for Jordan Spieth being good at golf again. Make Jordan good again.
We're sitting here stroking off Spieth when we're missing another comeback story here with Brooks Koepka finally back in the winner's circle after battling injuries the last year. Dude's been so crippled with injuries in the last year. He said in his post-game presser that
was problematic.
His post-round presser that this was probably his sweetest win because of the dark places he had to come out of to win. And Jordan Spieth standing there next to the green like, you have no idea.
Yes, Spieth not even winning this tournament. Just lucky to go, top five, is like, fuck you, just about to just rattle the guy, the cameraman on top of the tower out of his perch.
Be the center, like, you have no idea what it means to come out of a dark place mentally. Okay, let's not trash Spieth. Let's talk about Koepka. Koepka played out of his mind on Sunday.
He played well. Yeah, like you said, I mean, he's had a lot of injuries. He's come back, especially. I don't like him, especially after the DJ comment on Saturday of the Masters, and then DJ just. It was and then Saturday he played. He had the worst round of anybody there.
That was the PGA, not the Masters.
Was it the PGA?
It was the PGA.
Okay, either way. The point remains the same. He still played the worst on that Sunday round.
And then he makes the comment. After Kiz says that he shows up because T20 pays well, Brooks was like, "Yeah, I'm here to win." Although I hear T20 plays pretty well, and then he misses the cut after that. It's nice to see Brooks back in the winner's circle in a pretty big tournament, the People's Major. Some might call the Waste Management.
I'm more of a John Deere Classic man myself.
Okay, talk about a tournament that Jordan Spieth might win.
Hey. If anybody has a shot, it's him.
He's been there before. He's done it. I want to talk about that eagle chip in Brooks had coming down the stretch, considering like everyone was putting it to the same spot and the announcers were like, oh, that's a makeable eagle chip. And I was like, I don't think I've ever even thought the phrase makeable eagle chip. Like, what are you talking about? And then of course, Brooks just goes and lays it in there.
That's a preposterous statement. Makeable eagle chip is just absolutely, that's bananas. That's banana land.
I'm gonna be throwing that around this spring. I'm gonna be walking up to green. I'm like, oh, that's a makeable double bogey chip.
I love the idea too of playing like some really long par five at your local muni, and you're like, You hit it 400 yards to the right. You're like, this is a makeable eagle chip from 150 out, the right rough.
Got 8-iron in my hand. Yeah, it's a makeable eagle chip here.
Yeah. You're pulling out like the 57 because the weeds are so tall. Makeable eagle.
It was just an absolute insane line. And then, of course, he makes it. So who am I? I guess. That's a makeable eagle chip. What can you say? That's the only thing you can call it.
He literally called it what it was, which was a makeable eagle chip, I guess. But okay, question for you though: what was better, that Morikawa one or his Morikawa at the one in San Francisco, whichever major that was?
PGA, the same tournament we just talked about.
Yes, thank you.
Clearly Morikawa, because that was for a major. A dude's first major, and this is Brooks just winning his fifth, sixth PGA Tour event. Clearly, that one was a little more important.
Talk about, isn't that stupid? It's his like sixth tour win, and what, he's got three, four majors?
He's got four majors and four tour wins, four other tour wins. So I think he has eight wins in total now.
He's got eight wins. His rate, half your wins are majors.
It Could you imagine that, being like, yeah, I've won 8 tournaments. Half of them are major championships. No big deal. Even Tiger Woods can't say that because he'd have to win 40 majors.
Did you see, I don't know if this isn't related to the golf this weekend, but did you see that stat that came up with 54 hole leads and his conversion rate?
It was like 90-some percent or something like that.
It was like
it?
56 of 60. That's talking about banana land. That's what that number is. He's like 56 of 60. And it was like of people with like 8 chances or something like that. And it was like he had 60 chances with the 54 hole lead. The next guy was like 13. And he was like 7 of 13 or something.
Jordan Spieth can't even imagine the mental strength it takes to convert 54 out of 60 54-hole leads.
Dude, Jordan Spieth has a better shot at shooting a 93, that percentage, than he does a 60. I'm so sorry, Jordan. I'm so sorry.
I hate that we're doing this. Last thing I want to talk about this tournament is the epic collapse from James Hahn coming down the stretch. He goes up and seizes the lead and
seizes is right.
Continues to just absolutely fall apart, starting with he hits this tee shot so far out to nowhere. And being a right-handed golfer, he had to hit with his butt and side up against a cactus. And it's like, I was watching that and I immediately texted my golf coach. I was like, how would you even hit that? And he was like, my coach said, I'd pray. There was no chance of getting that thing to the green. He tried his best, threw it in the bunker. I would have been terrified. Granted, I'm left-handed. I wouldn't have had to dealt with that in that situation. That's such a terrifying shot. If you're like, if I rotate at all, I'm about to get stabbed to death by a cactus.
Dude, that's one of those. That's the, oh man, I don't remember what tournament or what year it was when Tiger hit that one where he's up against a tree left-handed. Mm-hmm. But that's that situation. That's where you just turn the club around and hope.
Yeah, except Tiger wasn't even hoping. He was like, yeah, I can do this. He's like, I practiced these for hours last night. I just had a hunch.
I just had a hunch. See, be ready for anything that military training.
Well, it's like,
did you ever watch that or no?
No, I didn't watch the doc. I don't have HBO, so I couldn't watch it if I wanted to.
Fair enough. I will say, wasn't as hit PC, but it was certainly not like, hey, check out how good this guy is at everything. They did not include that conversion rate stat, is all I'm going to say.
No, they they were talking about being able to seal the deal on 56 of 60 other attempts, just not on the golf course.
Okay. All righty. That was damn. Wow. I'm speechless. That was very good. Look at you. Jordan Spieth probably doesn't know anything about that side of things either. All right. Before we go, I want to get your way too early. We got Super Bowl 56 winner odds. I'll give you the top like 10 or so. Chiefs plus 500, Packers plus 800, Tampa Bay plus 800, Bills plus 1100, Ravens plus 1200, 49ers plus 1400, Rams plus 1400, Browns plus 1600, Saints plus 1800, and Seahawks plus 2K. Your Colts are tied for next with the Dolphins at plus 2500.
Yeah, give me a Colts Bills AFC Championship with a little Seattle Green Bay NFC Championship action, and let's give me a Seattle Indianapolis Super Bowl.
Who wins?
That's a tough one because I don't know who the Colts quarterback's going to be.
Fair enough. I like it. I kind of like the Rams.
I kind of like the Rams too.
That's like some nice value there.
If you want some good value way ahead and you want to take the silo that I just won you betting on Tampa Bay and you want to take that silo and place it on the LA Rams, that could do something for you.
That's called ROI.
Solid return on investment.
Absolutely. But yeah, so do you I guess I don't have anything else. I'm all talked out. I've vented. I don't have anything more on the Super Bowl. It is what it is. Did you have a favorite? Does Super Bowl commercials suck now?
I mean, they're just, everyone expects them to be funny. So you have a standard in your head.
It's funny. It's just the letdown.
And there's only a select few that are ever going to meet the funny. My favorite personally was the Jason Alexander Tide commercial, the little George Costanza play, just because the perfect song they had in the background. Because if you watch Seinfeld, you knew what that song is from. That one was pretty funny to me.
I was singing the voicemail.
Believe it or not, George isn't at home. Leave a message at the beep.
Do the echo with it right now.
Believe it or not, George isn't at home. Leave a message at the beep. I could be out or I'd pick up the phone. Where could I be?
With that, folks, that's what happens when you invest in yourself. You get a beautiful rendition of George's voicemail.
That's going to be all for this week's episode of Lecture Hall. Go visit our friends at BUSR.com/.
That's where I got those Super Bowl odds. Place your early bets now.
BUSR.com/StudentUnionSports. Take those winnings over to GibbsGrooming.com and then win yourself some more by using code HALL15, getting 15% off that order. And with the money you save and the money that you win, you could invest in a little mixer board, and then you can talk like this, little sweet. But that's going to do it for this week's show. Thank you guys for listening. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on TikTok at Lecture Hall SU. Hoppa does his own thing over there. I'm not even sure what's on it. And, of course, subscribe, rate, review. I forgot to read a review, so I'm going to look that up right now and read a review, and I'm going to keep singing this to a little tune until I stall long enough.
Oh, I can take over for you. One of the best posts on the Lecture Hall Student Union is my reaction to the Packers losing from 2 weeks ago to the song Everybody Hurts.
Okay. All right, we have a review, a 5-star review from T. Gozy. He said, great pod. I'm here for Harrison. Everybody run it up. Thank you, T. Gozy. And that's going to conclude this episode of Lecture Hall. Go leave us a review. Go subscribe.
Harrison is the Tom Brady of this fucking podcast.
Class is dismissed.
Deuces!